The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Boy, what a beautiful, beautiful day it is here in Sonoma County. And I want to wish everybody a beautiful day today. Enjoy. Count your blessings. You know, look at what you have, not what you don't have. I mean, it's just a beautiful, beautiful day with the sun shining and the nice weather. We're so lucky to live here in California. Well, I have three special guests with me this morning. Joining me on the phone from Fort Bragg, California, will be Jude Thillman. She's a medical cannabis educator and entrepreneur. And then joining me in the studio will be one of my favorite people, Leslie Graves. She's the marketing event manager for the Wednesday Night Market here in Sonoma County, and they are celebrating 30 years, and we're really excited to have Tony Bodhammer also with us. She's the founding coordinator of the then Thursday Night Market, now Santa Rosa Downtown Wednesday Night Market. Wow, 30 years. You know, I've been living in this community for 43 years now, and I remember when they had the first market, how wonderful it is. It's such a community event, coming out, meeting people, seeing who the vendors are, seeing who local people are. I bought one of the best St. Francis's statues that I have at the Wednesday Night Market. So shout out for them, 30 years of good service. Well, June 5th, we are all going to the polls. You know, this has been a very interesting time for me. I've been passing out information and found out that many people do not believe that voting is important. And I just thought, well, that was really interesting. You know, they say, well, my vote doesn't count. Well, what I have to say is your vote doesn't count if you don't vote. So it's very important. And also, I was talking to some young people, and one of the things I said, I could understand the federal elections when we elect president or some of the senators that in Washington, it seems so far away from us. And we seem like we have so little control over it. But that's not true for local elections. You know, many initiatives are passed, you know, bonds are passed. You know, right now we have the first time in 35 years we can vote for a sheriff. I mean, we have a choice. I mean, that's so exciting. I mean, all through the county, they've had forums. You can meet and greet people. People have been opening their homes for house parties. So there's been a lot of information. But what good does it do if you don't get up and go to the polls, or if you decided that you're going to vote by mail? You should. We just got our ballot on Saturday. It's very important that you turn that in before June 5th. I also work the polls, and I notice a lot of people come in with their envelopes, what they should have mailed in, and said they drop it off at the polls, and sometimes it takes 30 days to get those votes counted. So it's very important that you get your ballots in, especially the ones you mail in before the June the 5th. And it's real simple. Fill it out, put a stamp on it, and mail it, or you can go down to the voter registration office, which is at 435 Fiscal Drive in Santa Rosa, or you can phone them at 707-565-6800 if you have any questions. There's no excuse for not voting. It is very, very important. And there's no excuse for not being a registered voter. You know, we live in a democracy, and a strong democracy has their population voting. And usually in the June elections, we only have about 34% that turn out. You know, that's 34% should not be making decisions for us, folk. If you don't cast your ballot, you know, that means you have given up the right to decide for anything in your life. So it's very, very important that you vote on June the 5th. You know, on Monday, the 21st, there's going to be, that's today, I'm going to be having the woman on that's going to be doing the cannabis medicine talk. And she's also going to be appearing at the at SoCo High, Sonoma County Healing Center, and she'll talk a little bit about that. Also, I want you folks, mark your calendars. Andy Lopez's Andy Unity Park dedication community celebration, and it's all going to have a reunion of the Justice Coalition for Andy Lopez, will be happening on June the 2nd. 2018. Included in this amazing event will be a gathering and acknowledging of all the members of the Justice Coalition who helped bring forward this park. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, I am so thrilled about this. You know, Andy Lopez was the young boy, 13-year-old boy, that was shot here in Sonoma County. I cannot believe it's almost 5 years. And we still have not got a decision. We still, I believe they're at the Supreme Court right now. I mean, Sonoma County makes it to the Supreme Court. Amazing. Amazing. So remember, the event takes place on June 2nd from 1 to 5 p.m. and the location is at the park on Moulin Avenue. I'm really excited about that. I really am. Anyway, we went to, Ken and I were really excited on Sunday. We went to an event at the Laguna Farm for a barbecue and political presentation. But I want to give a shout out to the owner of the business, Jennifer Barham, who is the new owner of the business and a partner in the farm. And they work some of the most beautiful organic food I have ever seen. And it's so interesting. When I was talking to Jennifer, she says she wants people to encourage people to check out your small farms in Sonoma County and get some produce from them. I mean, local is so important. You know, we have a garden in our backyard, and the most wonderful thing is that, you know, you can go out there and, you know, pick some lettuce or pick a tomato or do some, you know, something for your garden for dinner. And the thing that really amazed me when I first started doing gardening and I would go shopping, I said to myself, how old is the food that I'm eating? I mean, we don't know how old our food is. We don't know how old that tomato is. So if you do have an opportunity to visit a small farm and to buy produce, I really encourage you to do that. It's really important. Well, there's a lot going on in the world today, and I just need to make a little commentary here. I was listening before our show goes on. I was listening to Amy Goodman talking about the recent shooting with this young man who was, I guess, rejected by a young woman. And you know, who knows what goes on in a 17-year-old mind? You know, we think 17 is mature, but, you know, according to science, it's not until that brain is 25 years old where it really starts being really more rational than when you are younger. And we need to look at that stuff. We need to look at bullying. We need to look at what is happening with our young people, that the only way they can think to solve a problem is to kill somebody, to go and shoot up a school. I mean, that is really sad when you start thinking about it. I mean, I was born in 1940. I went to school in 1945. I don't ever remember being afraid of somebody coming into the school and shooting me. I remember we used to do a little exercise called drop. And that was, you know, to protect ourselves if there was a nuclear explosion. But never feared somebody coming in, you know, into my class and shooting me. I mean, that was never on the radar back then. And now when I think about it, I mean, it's really, really troublesome. And then we start reacting. You know, instead of sitting down at the table and saying, hey, wait a minute, we have a serious, with a capital S, problem here. How can we solve it? What are our youth being exposed to that create such violence in them that this is the way, the only way they think they can solve a problem? And, you know, one of the things our president is calling for again is to arm teachers. Well, what good is it going to be to arm a teacher? They had a guard on duty at that school where 10 young people, well, it was 9 people, young people and one teacher were killed. There was a guard there, and he did confront the shooter. But guess what? He's in the hospital right now. So how would you as a parent feel if you knew that your child was going to school and the teacher was armed? There's no guarantee just because the teacher's armed that's going to be able to protect you against a shooter. I mean, this proves that's a myth. You've got to sit down and start talking about what is it? What stopped that young boy from talking to somebody and saying, I feel rejected? You know, maybe we need some classes where teens come together and they talk to each other. I mean, if this is one of the issues that is a revenge issue or a way of not being able to cope with rejection, then it's something that we need to look at. And then also some of the violence that's being created against our people of color with the way that immigration is being handled and the way some of these shooters getting off and justifying killing young people in the street. I mean, all these things affect our young people. You know, we have to be examples we have to show them the way. We have to create opportunity where they have a voice and they can express some of their feelings. I mean, one of the things I remember when my daughter became a teenager, a friend of mine asked me, she said, why are you so calm? You know, why don't you do this or why don't you do that? I says, no, I remember when I was a teenager. All the acting out that I did, and trust me, I acted out quite a bit, was all to get attention and to get a sense of feeling that maybe I belonged and maybe I carry out these feelings. They don't know what to do with them sometimes. So there's a lot to think about. And it's not just the responsibility of a parent. It's not just the responsibility of a school. It's not just the responsibility of a village. It takes all of us coming together and a solution. And the best give you the implement some of the things that they're. And if you have an appeal sometimes at women's spaces, and let's see if we can have a lot to contribute. But the most important thing is we must stand up for our young people. Didn't know about that. The musical break now. Excuse me, John Moose is running for sheriff. You know, I get on these tangents and start thinking, it's just amazing. Well, anyway, we're going to take a musical break now, and I really love this song. It's called Heal the World by Connie Talbot. And we need to start thinking is how do we heal? How do we heal ourselves? How do we help heal other people? I mean, what I think about is when the phone rang and the parent picked up the phone and to find out. I'll tell you something. Do anything you want to me, but please never do that. So my heart goes out to all the parents, all the students, all the folks that were impacted by this. It's very, very, very sad. Anyway, we're going to take a musical break, and the song I will be playing is Heal the World by Connie Talbot. And when we return, I will be talking on the phone with Jude Tillman, who is a medical patient throughout California and counseling individuals in the art and science of choosing and using cannabis medicine. Oh, my goodness. Never thought that this would happen, but here we are in California. It looks like slowly but surely cannabis is becoming legal and people are able to get it. But we really have to be aware of certain aspects, and I know that we're going to really have an interesting conversation.
We can heal the world and make it a better place. There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love, and this place could be much brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. In this place, you'll feel there's no hurt or sorrow. There are ways to get there if you care enough for living. Space, make a better place, heal the world, make it a better place for you and for me and the entire human race. There are people dying. If you care enough for the living, make a better place for you. If you want to know why, there's a love that cannot lie. Love is strong, it only cares for joy, forgiving. If we try, we shall see. In this bliss we cannot feel. Fear or dread, we stop existing and start living. Then it feels that always love's enough for us growing. Make a better world. You and for me, and the dream we were. is plain to see, this world is heavenly. Be God's glory.
Make a better place for you and for me and for all the children. We must recognize that children are our future. You know, when we have things like happen with these shootings, what kind of future are we offering them? You know, lots to think about. Well, folks, for you just joining in, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome, Black. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my special guest joining me on the phone, Jude Tillman. Welcome, Jude. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be with you, Elaine. I'm so glad you're doing this show, too. Women's Spaces is needed more than ever these days, with the overall political climate being so... I'll just say it, misogynist. <You
know? laughs> Well, we got a lot of work to do. But, you know, besides interviewing you, I have two beautiful women in the studio with me who are also doing a lot of good work from our Wednesday night market here in Sonoma County. Well, Jude, before we start, let me tell my listeners just a little bit about you. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Jude Tillman is a medical cannabis educator and entrepreneur, offering public presentations throughout California and counseling individuals in the art and science of choosing and using cannabis medicines. Her education work takes place through her 501c3 Creative Change Production, founded in 2002. She is also founder and director of the Dragonfly, oh, that's interesting, I love dragonflies, Wellness Center, which opened in 2011 with the mission of providing cannabis medical herbs in the context of a range of holistic healing practices. She is also director of education for True Farms. She hosts a bi-weekly television show, Cannabis News and Views, and she brings 30 years of experience in the management of complex multi-dimensional projects and in the production of educational media, for which she received national awards. Well, welcome. I just feel so honored to have you. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Oh, no, please. That was already making me tired listening to it.
Well, you know, I'll tell you something. It's so interesting with these bios. There's so much you want to say about a person, and you just have so, I'm just honored to interview you. Well, let's start out, Jude. Talk about how you got involved with cannabis and what your beginning challenges were and what is changing right now.
All right, Elaine. I didn't come from the cannabis community. I came from peace and social justice struggles from, going back to the late 60s. And international solidarity, gender, women's prison rights, anti-racist struggles around affirmative action and segregation issues, and, you know, it was all of that sort of thing. When I moved up to the Emerald Triangle, specifically Mendocino County, I had a group of friends, all who happened to be women, and we wanted to come together and put together a holistic healing center. And needless to say, like many people in Mendocino and in the Triangle, they're in one way or another involved in cannabis. So we created a holistic healing center that wasn't just cannabis-centric. It included acupuncture and Tai Chi and massage and Bowen treatment and all kinds of other things and other herbs as well. Because the struggle has been from the very beginning to see this as the 5,000-year-old herb that it is and not the 80 years, if you start from 1939, of federal government misinformation and disinformation about it being some sort of gateway drug. In fact, the biology of the plant itself belays that notion. It's got close to 130 known cannabinoids in it, and none of them are inherently psychoactive. Only one becomes psychoactive, THCA, when you take it out and turn it into THC. So the plant itself is not about getting high, and it's certainly not a gateway drug. It's an herb that's been used effectively, and we have written records of it being used to treat all kinds of conditions for 5,000 years. So right from the start, our first challenge was to present cannabis as a normative herbal treatment, just like other Chinese herbs and other herbs that are produced here locally, organically, biodynamically, and in the context of holistic healing. That's nutrition and exercise and all kinds of other modalities. So that was the first challenge, but it's continued to be the principal challenge, because what we all sit with in our minds and in our hearts is 40 years of mass media perpetuation of disinformation and misinformation, and everybody holds that, including people within the cannabis industry. So
let me ask you a question here, Jude. You know when you hear the whole history of the past and everything, I can't help but be curious. What motivated you? You know, because actually, even though you're presenting all these positive aspects of cannabis, still at the time you got involved, there was this negative connotation. How were you able to overcome that, and what was motivating you?
Well, first of all, to be clear, the stigma still exists. I was motivated by social justice issues, by healthcare as a right issues. I mean, I couldn't, all my life I've made connections between different struggles, and it didn't make any sense to separate cannabis out from the fact that mostly people of color are being put in prison in this crazy war on drugs, and the fact that people are not getting the health care that they need. People are dying every day from lack of health care, or from inadequate or really pharmaceuticals.
Well, it's really when you think about it. I remember when I was in rehab when I was ill. I had to learn, believe it or not, I had to learn how to walk all over again. And I remember one insurance company would let you stay there X amount of times. Another insurance company would list X amount, and I happened to have an insurance policy that I was able to stay the whole time. They didn't throw me out, and I couldn't help. I'd say to myself, why is it that one insurance company can do this and another insurance company can do that, and my insurance company can do it this way? And then I began to realize how unequal healthcare is, and then because of my own sickness began to see, my God, healthcare is definitely a human right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the cannabis, because you know, you call yourself you're an entrepreneur and you're also an educator. And one of the things that I found very interesting, and I know from personal experience from different friends of mine that I know, that sometimes there's the edibles in the dispensaries that can be a little bit problematic for people. But I know that you have a system that people can check out, that there's a way, if they're wanting to indulge in that way, there's a way to start looking and evaluate that. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, certainly, and it's not just edibles, but a lot of things are problematic. We have what's obviously a green rush, where you're going to have a lot of people coming in from outside the cannabis community and cannabis industry that we've created so carefully over the last decades here in California. They're going to be flooding the shelves with schlocky products that have all kinds of fillers and bad ingredients, and they're grown in dirt that's had chemical pesticides and chemical nutrients. They're going to flood the market. People are uninformed, uneducated, the general public, not just the patients who are trying to treat conditions. And I've had breast cancer myself and 14 surgeries and plenty of friends who have turned to cannabis. But it's hard to find good products, and these outside nefarious investors are going to come in and try to make a lot of money off of people's ignorance and sell their cheap products, and then they're going to get out because that's the way you make money off the marketplace. So we've developed, working among the people who are really devoted to cannabis as medicine, developed five rules for how to choose and use your cannabis medicine. And the first one, of course, is read the label and know the source of the raw materials. Is it organic? Is it biodynamic? Is it not hemp? Hemp is not an adequate whole plant medicine. Doesn't give you the entourage effect of all of the almost 500 chemical compounds in the plants that actually affect healing. Number two, what's the best delivery system? Edibles is the least effective because where in that brownie do I find my medicine? How do you possibly self-titrate your dose or the kind of medicine you might need for your condition? Plus, it goes through your digestive system. So your digestive system, from the stomach acids through the digestive enzymes, will break it down. We don't want our medicine broken down. We want the whole plant to get into our bloodstream to reach those endocannabinoid receptors that will begin to initiate herbal healing on a cellular level. So you got to know what's your best delivery system. And the best is really tinctures through the membrane of the mouth. Not smoking, not edibles. Smoking is good for symptom management. It certainly beats pharmaceuticals because it doesn't have side effects. It's not addictive. It doesn't leave you hungover. But it is symptom management that we learned in the AIDS crisis. Nothing beats smoking for quick relief of nausea, pain, or sleep needs. But it's not a long-term healing strategy. So so there's that rule number two, and there's more to it, and I'll just give you the short bits. The rule number three and four have to do with how you take control of your own health and healing with any herbal medicine, and that is self-titrating the ratios of the various cannabinoids. Principally, we're looking at CBD and THC because those are the dominant cannabinoids in the plant. You're looking at the ratio for what are you treating? Epilepsy? Is it pain? Is it cancer? What are you treating? And you have to get advice on how to do that. And the fourth rule is simply, what's your dose? And we have to figure out doses every day and every hour based on how we feel and what we're treating and how our body responds, because we're not cookie cutters of each other. Like the pharmaceuticals treat us, take two aspirin every 4 hours. Doesn't matter how big you are, how small you are, male, female, or what you're treating. You know, it's just like we're not. We're all individual metabolism. So that's the challenge of herbal medicine. It's also the link to how we can create traditional herbal. It's not alternative. It's traditional herbal medicine as a replacement for the pharmaceutical industry, which has shaped the medical industrial complex for the entire 20th century.
Well, also,
and we can turn away from that now.
Well, also, we notice there's a lot of death from opioids now. That are, you know, it seems like it's running rampant. And when this information you're giving, I don't think anybody's going to lose their life. What is the fifth one? You had one more.
The fifth one is the most important, and that's the individuation and of you, that all herbal medicine is individuated. If a bunch of us went into a Chinese herbalist and said we had a migraine headache, we'd walk out with completely different concoctions of herbs. And that sort of rules all the other four rules, because when you understand your individual metabolism and how you interact with herbal medicine, then you can take more of a proactive stand on how you treat yourself, and you can figure out your ratio and your dose correctly. So that's just an overarching principle.
Well, it's just amazing. I want to thank you for that. I mean, that is so informative. I mean, who thinks about those things? You know, you just go get whatever you get, or the doctor gives you a prescription, and you say, okay. I mean, it's very, very interesting. Well, you know, we're coming already to the end of this segment. It's just amazing how time goes by so quickly. I understand that you're going to be giving a speech here, or a class. I'm not sure exactly what it is, here in Sonoma County. What is it that you provide, or what is it when you do a gathering like that? What is it that you are giving the
What I offer is an extension of some of the we barely dipped our toes into facts and figures about cannabis as medicine, the science behind it, quoting from New England Journal of Medicine, Lancet, Journal of Pharmacology, academic journals that have been doing this research and animal models and laboratory research and clinical studies around the world, mostly outside of this country because of the war on drugs that includes cannabis as a victim of that war. But So I present the science in a PowerPoint presentation, also a 16-minute video of patients of ours here on the Mendocino Coast that talk about their own situation and how it's worked for them with autoimmune disease and cancer and epilepsy and various things like PTSD, a vet from Iraq. So it's a full-scale presentation, and then leave a lot of time for Q&A, for questions, for answers, for people's individual situations. And you want to know where and what time?
Not yet. I want to ask you one question.
Okay.
You talked about PTSD, and I know there's been a real struggle with the Veterans Veterans Association to allow vets to take that. Has that changed any?
Well, on a federal level, officially, not yet. They have been making some noises about allowing vets to use cannabis. But what we're finding is on a VA by VA case, there is a policy of don't ask, don't tell, look the other way. So it just depends on your particular VA hospital and service.
Don't ask.
Crazy.
Okay, tell us real quickly, do you have a website that people can get a hold of you? And also if you where you're going to be? I know the seminar is tonight. It's going to be at Sokol Hall in Sebastopol. I know Vicki Olinsky very well. A shout out for Vicki for all the wonderful work she's doing.
No kidding. It's great.
Oh, she brings so much to the community, and she's such a sweetheart. She's such a sweetheart.
So I guess then your listeners know the address. The websites I would refer to are truefarma.com, TRUEFARMA.com, /education, or just the general group of medicines that company distributes. That I work very closely with them to make sure they're getting good medicines and they go direct to patients. Our website is dragonflywellness.org, and that it features on its homepage the 16-minute video I was referring to. The O'Shaughnessy's Society of Cannabis Clinicians has a wonderful website called cannabisclinicians.org, and they refer to all the scientific research that's being done on the effectiveness of cannabis. And you can see my full presentation, 90-minute presentation on the science of cannabis at MendocinoTV.com. And you click on the program, Cannabis News and Views, and then find the particular episode, Cannabis is Medicine.
Well, I'll tell you, this has been very, very enlightening. A lot of good information, Jude. I mean, I really thank you. And just to let my listeners know, this interview was on such short notice. You know, all of a sudden I realized, oh, my goodness, I had let it fall through the cracks, so to speak. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I just, it's wonderful. One of the things I saw on your stationery that was very impressive, it says, cannabis is medicine, changing the narrative with education, helping people choose cannabis medicine one individual at a time. Very strong. Well, everything that you, all the information that you've given us is going to be on our website at www.womenspaces.com. So everybody can find all the information that you just gave out. Now, the workshop's going to be at Sokol Hall in Sebastopol. And what time is that going to be?
6:30 tonight.
Till what time?
Oh, till they kick us out.
Okay.
Maybe about 90 minutes or so.
Well, I want to thank you, Judd Hillman, for being on Women's Spaces. This has just been a wonderful, wonderful interview. Are there any last statements that you'd like to make before we say goodbye?
Well, just because it's Women's Spaces, I want you all to keep track of how the glass ceiling is being shattered by women in the cannabis industry. And this is a good thing. We're ever, ever onward, because it was a thick glass ceiling. So, and thank you so much, Elaine, for having me on the show.
Well, it's been an absolute delight. And, you know, I love that song by Bob Dylan. The times, they are a-changing, and they sure are changing these days. So thank you again, Jude.
You bet, Elaine. Thank you.
Wow.
Bye-bye.
What a great interview, folks. This is really great. Well, I'm excited, you know, when I hear there's so many changes being made. Well, now we're going to take a music break, and I picked a real important song. It's called Get Together by Ann Wilson. It's an old Buffalo Springfield song. But to me, that's what the Wednesday night market is all about, people coming together. In fact, I found all kinds of marketing songs, come to marketing, buy vegetables. I mean, there's so many wonderful songs, but this is, to me, the whole idea around the community Wednesday night market, and also it started out at the Thursday night market. The whole idea was to bring the community together so we would know each other. We can know the products that are being sold in the community. We can greet and meet each other, and it's a place for the kids to come together. So when we come back, I'm going to be doing an interview with Leslie Graves, who's the market and event manager for the Wednesday night market in downtown Santa Rosa since 2016, and then Tony Bodenhammer, who is actually one of the founders of the Thursday Night Market, which actually segued into the Wednesday Night Market. So I'm really excited to talk about them. We're going to talk a little bit about history, the whole purpose of the market, and just have a good time talking about all these wonderful things that happen right here in our county in downtown Santa Rosa. So here we go with Get Together by, let's see, by Ann Wilson.
Love is but a song we sing. Fear's the way we die. You can make the mountains ring or make the angels cry. Though the bird is on the wing and you may not know why.
Folks, come on, get together. Time to love one another right now. You know, love is a big word. You know, the first letter in L is love. It's let it happen. The next letter is O, open up to it. The next letter is V, very important. E, it can be very exciting and erotic and entertaining. So love is very important. By the way, that was off the top of my head. Well, welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And without further ado, I want to introduce two of my guests. I have Leslie Graves here, who is the marketing event manager for the Wednesday Night Market in downtown Santa Rosa, and also a special guest with us by the name of Tony Bodenhammer, who actually was one of the founders of the first, it was called the Thursday Night Market here in downtown Santa Rosa. So welcome, ladies. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Oh,
thanks,
no, Elaine. This is fun. You know, this is, the last interview was so educational. I noticed everybody was taking notes. I mean, it was really, I thought it was very, very worthwhile. So let me tell the folks just a little bit about you. Leslie Graves got her first taste of coordinating local events while with the Sonoma County Family YMCA, where she took the role of planning the Harvest Fair. Oh, you're kidding. The Harvest Fair.
Well, wait, the 10K. The 10K. Okay, not the one, not the actual fair, but the actual race that used to be preceding the fair on Sunday mornings.
Oh, so the race that was in 1996, and then you moved on to a moving. What was your next hop after that?
Well, after the Y, I went over to Fleet Feet Sports, which is kind of funny because they're joining us on June 6th at the market. They're going to be putting on a run. And when I was with Fleet Feet Sports, I got to put on more runs and more special events. So that was really part of my growth in the world of events. And then I went on to the Sonoma County Bike Coalition. I put on a 4,000 person event downtown that was a bike expo. So I started putting on really large events, and then here I am.
And also you have a background in health and fitness. What is that about?
Right. So at the YMCA, I pursued my education in health and fitness, and I became a personal trainer. I became a trainer of trainers. So I was able to become an instructor of folks that would go on and actually help people to a greater health and wellness in their own personal lives. And what was great about that is I got to work with people of all different age groups. I had started off in the field of physical therapy and decided that was a little too focused for me. You had to pick between sports or folks that were in acute living situations. I wanted something that was broader and really helped everyone. So the YMCA was a great place to do that.
Well, you know, I have to do a shout out for you because you did the Women's March this year. And the thing that was the most impressive is the way you integrated the youth. I mean, that touched me more than anything, that all those kids were up there where they had the microphone, they had a stage, and I just want to thank you for that. And these are the things that are going to bring our youth together. So let me tell a little bit here about you, Tony, sitting here. And it's very interesting, all the three of us coming together, we've just met Tony. So welcome to Women's Spaces. I'm really happy to meet you. So let me tell a little bit about you. She is an independent contractor for over 35 years, providing project and event management, marketing, and fundraising service to nonprofits, mostly in the Santa Rosa downtown Wednesday night market. And she managed the market for 3 years. Well, tell us a little bit more. You were very involved in the Rose Parade and all kinds of different things. Fill us in a little bit more about you, Tony.
Well, I fell into event work after I left journalism and really enjoyed working, bringing communities together.
Wait a minute. You left journalism. Tell us a little bit about that.
I started in journalism and worked in newspapers in Southern California. I got married to a newsman. He got a job at a paper in a different town, and there were never two newspaper jobs at once. So I fell into public relations. Ended up doing publicity and marketing for the county fair and harvest fair for 7 years here. And learned a lot about events, learned a lot about marketing, learned a lot about bringing people together and the value of that.
You know, I have a theory about marketing. I really believe as long as you let people know you care about them, that's the first step.
That it is.
Yeah. I mean, you really notice that. Well, thank you for sharing that. Talk a little bit about, you know, I picked that song, Get Together, because I just think it's such a beautiful song, and it gives me the feeling when I think about the market. I think about the first days when we first started going. It was a new phenomenon
for
Santa Rosa.
It was, and it was developed basically through the Chamber of Commerce. They had a Forum 2000 in the 80s to get ready for the next century. And one of the things they wanted to do was find out how they could make the community better. A lot of committees went out to different towns and investigated whether towns were doing well. They liked the downtown market in San Luis Obispo and decided to put one on. And I ended up getting hired to manage it, which was wonderful fun.
What was your first challenge?
Putting it together in 10 weeks. From nothing, which was crazy. Finding all the resources, having all the people come together, having a board of directors, and to some degree, convincing the merchants that it was going to be okay.
You know, the program is Women's Spaces, and one of the things that I try to do is encourage women to get up and do. Where did you get your confidence? I mean, here you are, you started from nothing. You know, you're new on a job. Where did you get your confidence?
Actually, it was really a group effort. There was a board of directors. The Chamber of Commerce was intimately involved. We brought together people who had a really strong feeling about putting it together. And the confidence, I think, comes from knowing you're doing something that's good for everybody. It's you know you want to do it, so you just keep moving forward.
What a positive statement, Tony. The confidence comes from knowing that you're doing some good, that you're doing something for other people. It kind of spurs you on. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. It's such fun to see people come together and celebrate community and celebrate each other in community, which they do by visiting the booths or meeting old friends, things like that at the market.
Well, here we are 30 years later.
I'm so glad it's still going on. I watched so many. I'm a member of CalFest, and I've taught workshops at the California Downtown Association and international festivals. And so many times events end up dying, and I'm so glad the market's still going on.
I'm going to ask you not to touch the microphone. Whoop. We just... So now that 30 years later, you know, I mean, when things start at the beginning, you know, everybody's excited. Like you say, most things fail. What do you think was the secret or the success that it lasted all this time? And it continues to get bigger and bigger. I mean, and better and better. Now we have the plaza. I mean, things are different.
Right, right. You know what? It is different, and it's the same as well. So, and that's a beautiful aspect of it. The Wednesday night market is truly the Santa Rosa downtown market. And in saying that, I want to say that the special element is everybody that comes out, everybody who is a vendor, everybody who has ever served on the board, who has ever volunteered, who has ever been part of the staff. Each and every person takes ownership of it. Even if a person has a little bit of an issue with something, that to me is a positive. That means that they've taken ownership of the market. It's theirs. And they're propelling it along by making a comment, by being constructive, by participating in a special event, by participating by being a vendor. So each and every person that is affected by the market also becomes an owner of the market.
Well, you know, I can totally relate to that because I've just been invited to be there. Where there's an event comes up once a year. It's called Juneteenth. I'm sure you're familiar with it. And I was just invited to become on the board. And it's celebrating what, the African Americans when they had the Emancipation Proclamation in a town in Texas. It took them till Juneteenth, almost a whole year before the folks found out that they were free. And I had the opportunity, and it was just amazing. All of a sudden, you're working on a festival. You have a whole different, you know, you're working with a group of people. You know, you're doing something good for the community, and it gives you all this energy. And sometimes the challenges come along. It's like you almost welcome them. Like, okay, we can work this one out because you're working together with people. Would you feel that is what you're kind of saying in a way?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so when I was able to actually be hired on to the market as the manager in 2016, and it's funny listening to Tony now, and you were saying, you know, I had 10 weeks to put it all together. I had hired on with just under 8 weeks in 2016, and not much had been done yet. And it was the best challenge in the world for me. I absolutely was excited about it.
Well, I'm going to tell everybody a secret about you. You actually got married at the market. Am I right?
I did get married at the market. So in 2016, when I took over managing the market, I knew that it was the epitome of a community event in downtown Santa Rosa. And I also knew that Courthouse Square was going to break ground and be reunited and reunified in 2017. I was very excited about that. And with all of the resources and money that was being put into Courthouse Square, I knew that in 2017, we needed to actually match that enthusiasm and commitment by the city of Santa Rosa. The Wednesday night market is not run by the city. It's actually a small nonprofit organization. But I knew that that type of commitment, $10 million and more of bringing together Courthouse Square, needed to be reflected in the Wednesday night market. We have a 16-night event. And in order to do that, I looked around during the off season from 2016 to 2017 and decided that a wedding would be the best possible way
royal wedding.
Exactly. That's right. It was somewhat royal. So we started the 2017 season 5 days after the fence came down around Courthouse Square. And by June 7th, we were putting on a wedding for three couples that had signed up through radio interviews that I had done, through social media, through special events. And then we were actually had the mayor and the vice mayor at the time, Jack Tibbetts and Chris Corsi, were officiating the event. We had flowers, we had cake, we had reception, we had champagne. It was absolutely gorgeous. They showed up in wedding gowns and suits. I thought they were going to be in like market wear. I didn't really know that they were going to get all dressed up. And we put on this event. And it was for them, but it was also for the community. And at the last minute, like you said, I got married as well at that night. We were the secret fourth couple that we were dubbed by Chris Corsi, as well as just a couple other people knew about it. Everybody else that was there, thousands of people, had no idea that off to the side, my now husband Chris and myself were getting married. We wanted to keep it a secret because we wanted the attention to be on those three couples.
Well, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
But also, one of the things you said, you know, here we had just had the royal couple get married. Millions watched television. There were hundreds of thousands of people in Britain. People from the United States were, you know, with their little flag. People want to be involved. They want to feel they're part of. And especially when it comes to love. I mean, that's a loving act to get married. Well, there's so much that we can cover on. And like we said, time goes by fast. But let's just talk a little bit about coming to the market, how long it runs, the dates, the times, and anything else that you would like to add, Tony. Anything that is on your heart that you'd like to share?
One of the things about, you talked about togetherness and bringing people together. One really wonderful story, I had a friend who was a school administrator, and we co-mommed our kids together, and she called me up one morning after the market and said, I did a horrible thing last night at the market, but it turned out well, and I want to thank you. And I couldn't wait to hear her story. She told me that she had taken her younger teenage daughter to the market to go with friends by herself, not with mom, to the market for the first time. And my friend was nervous about it, so she said, Tony, I did a horrible non-mom thing. I parked my car, and then I went and followed my daughter half a block behind to make sure she was okay. And she said, but she was a school administrator, and we'd had a lot of publicity about gang problems at the market at that point in time. And she said, I got distracted by some of the kids that I knew were troublemakers, and I saw them at the market, and I decided to follow them instead. She said, and I followed them for 90 minutes. She said, they followed the rules, they followed the law. She said, a couple times they got really close to the line, but they behaved for the whole 90 minutes that I watched them. She said, Tony, if they can behave for 90 minutes, maybe someday we can get them to behave for a couple of hours. She said, it was just wonderful. She said, I want to thank you for having a market that makes people want to be there and behave.
Community. Like, here we are. Okay, so let's give the time and maybe one or two vendors that you think are special. Or who was your oldest vendor? Do you remember?
Well, it probably is Pasta King or Riley Benedetti of the Willy Bird Turkey Legs. So both of them are still there. Pasta King still comes out. He's cutting bread over at his booth.
I got to tell you something about Pasta King that I found out about him. That our Congressman Mike Thompson, he has done the pasta event for him every year since he ran for office, and that he donates. I mean, it's his. He donates it. I mean, it's just amazing. So tell us the times and where the location and all the good news about
it. And I just want to also
point out that
we have so many good things going on at the market. We've got not only our main stage bands, but special events. Just this past week, we did a Community Strong event, and which highlighted a lot of our resiliency here in Sonoma County.
And movie
nights. That's right. We had a movie night on our first night, so we'll probably be doing that again next season. And then we also have our market dates. We're going to be going until August 22nd. We will skip July 4th, and we are open from 5 p.m. till 8:30 p.m., and our main stage is located in Courthouse Square. We've got great bands coming up this week. Is Charlie Peach, local band, fronted by a female, nice young group of adults that are absolutely wonderful, and they are going to also be joined by the Sonoma County Music Coalition. So Ryan Woodard, 11-year-old, played with Buddy Guy over at LBC. He'll be in our local performance area. So we've got so many good things happening. Go to www.wednesdaynightmarket.org /music to find out all of our performances, all of our special events. There's so much to talk about. We could probably take up another hour.
Well, and I want folks to know if they go on www.womensdebases, all that information will be listed. Well, I want to thank you so much, Leslie Graves, and also Tony Bodhammer for being here on Women's Spaces. And thank you so much for contributing so much for the community. You know, oftentimes the negativity clouds everything, and this is just a positive event that happens here in our own county. So thank you so much, both
thank
of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, a reminder. Reminder, tell all your friends that Women's Spaces will be on again at 11 o'clock tonight. That's at 89.1 FM. And also, we are streaming at www.kbbf.org. I'm so excited about that. And remind to tell your friends and to put this in your heart to vote. June 5th to vote. It's very important. And remember, the children are our future, and that future is determined by how you mark your ballot. So I encourage you. This is Elaine B. Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
She knows everything you do.